like, I'm not going to make this claim, but like, did Toe Jam and Earl get a lot of their design decisions from E.T.? I don't know. Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 132, and summer has arrived. I don't know if it has for everyone, but my students are officially out of school for the summer, and Kenny, you're on a little start of summer vacation right now, right?
Yep. It is now beautiful weather, so my wife and I are spending some time up at the lake this weekend and taking our new puppy out to do some out-of-doors adventures. And so recording on location, so hopefully quality all translates all right.
But it will be probably slightly noticeable in that he's in a different recording environment this week.
That's right. You'll have to forgive me.
Does your dog know how to swim yet?
Oh, yes, at least passably. Last time we were near water, she got way too interested in a fish we caught and leaned over the edge of a dock and fell in.
Yes.
But she didn't drown because doggy instincts are to... Everybody acts like they know how to swim. I swear doggy paddling is not them swimming. It's just them trying to run because they don't know what else to do. But it just happens to keep them afloat in water. And in her case, intentional doggy paddling or running for dear life, whatever it was, she was fine. So I jumped in and rescued her. And we've got a little doggy life jacket for her that we'll sport when she's going in.
And you will post pictures in Discord this week.
Sure.
Yes.
Great.
Great.
Promised.
Do any of us have big plans for the summer? Any of us doing anything fun or exciting?
I don't think I have any.
I'm taking a big trip to Florida.
When? Really? With family?
Yeah, like with family. Kind of big, you know, once every couple of years, like whole family vacation. We're doing the whole Disney thing. So it's going to be
Are y'all going to wear shirts that have your like family name on the back of it?
We are.
You are?
No, it's on the front, and I don't think it actually has our name. It might.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. I'm 100% not that person, but my sister is, and she's the one spearheading this whole effort. And so, yeah, we'll have We're Trying Way Too Hard at Disney t-shirts on, in case we forget what family we belong to.
Dustin, y'all have plans. You're coming to visit us, right?
Are we?
Yeah, I think so.
That was one of my questions. Are we three, or at least two of us, going to see each other this summer at all?
Oh, this summer? Maybe.
I mean, at least two of us will. Nolan and I will see each other.
I don't know. Y'all don't see each other too often.
Yeah, Kenny, I have a question for you. We both live in Austin?
Sort of. Surrounding areas.
Where's my invite to the lake?
No,
it's coming.
It's coming.
No, there's like weird other family guests here this weekend.
I don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah, exactly. But like sometime we'll get to do a weekend up here.
Nolan, your summer does sound kind of like mine. It's going to be a more relaxed summer for me and my wife. Every other year we're going on a big summer trip. So last year we went on a big trip. Next year we'll go on a big trip. But this summer will be pretty chill. It would be awesome if we were able to hang out and see each other this summer, and it could be possible.
Yeah, I'm always down for that. I miss you like crazy.
We should record in person.
We'll see. We'll see what we can do. I mean, it's not hard to go down to Texas. We just got to find time. It'll be mid to late summer, and yeah, we'll do it. Okay. I mean, I love you guys to pieces. Reese's Pieces, in fact. Reese's Pieces, the candy featured in the movie in which our retro game of the week was created after, E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Overview.
as segues go, I'm more okay with that one than I should have been.
Okay.
Because as much as I hate the movie E.T., this is well established. If anybody is listening for the first time, that's news to them. But everybody else literally knows it's my least favorite thing in the world. But I love some Reese's Pieces, so it kind of redeems it.
Reese's Pieces are good. I enjoy Reese's better, but anything with chocolate and peanut butter is going to do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a soundbite.
Yeah, it is.
So E.T. the Extraterrestrial is an Atari 2600 game that has a lot of interesting backstory. And I think we probably ought to start by talking about some of that first, because I think that's the real window dressing for this game. And then we'll kind of breeze through a little bit of what the game's about. But this is the game that by many people has been considered the worst video game of all time. Now, there's people who obviously may agree or disagree with any statement that bold, but there is some precedent for saying that. I think
here's the thing. It is also considered to be one of the most significant titles in the history of video games.
Absolutely. When I say like worst video game of all time, I don't just mean that like the game itself was bad, but that the entire release of the game went not even that poorly, but that much lower than expectations, that it was kind of one domino in a number of dominoes, but that kind of led to the downfall of Atari as a company, that led to a slump in video gaming, like the industry as a whole, and that then went on to have a whole bunch of drama about the cartridges and how accessible they were, and how a whole bunch of the extra cartridges that had been ordered for this game because they, you know, overplanned production for what popularity could actually keep up with, got dumped in a landfill. And then there were rumors about that happening or not happening. And there's literally, there's so much story around how this game impacted the scene of video games as a whole. Mostly for bad, but it's interesting enough that people have gone and made entire documentaries about this game and how it was made and what worked and didn't work and who's to blame. And so, like, that's a ton of story for us to bite off and chew. I don't think we even really need to go fully in depth there. But I would say it's a super interesting story. Hop online, read about it a little bit, check out YouTube, because this game was hugely influential. And not in positive ways.
Well, one of the iconic things about it was that, well, is it an urban legend or is it real that they, all the unsold ET cartridges were buried in a landfill in New Mexico?
No, that one is true. I grew up in New Mexico. And so when they came back years later for a documentary, they went and dug up where they thought all of these games had been buried. And were able to at least find enough of them to prove that they had dumped some. I don't think the numbers are verified or anything, but it certainly happened.
Whoa. I thought it was an urban legend. As things like that, you know, people cling to those types of things when there's something like this significant. And they're like, oh my gosh, so bad. They dumped them all in a landfill. I thought it was just a story.
No, there were... Depending, like, again, you hear different things, and I don't know if you have accurate numbers, but the source that I think is the most reputable from what I've read says that that whole dumping, and that wasn't just E.T. games, I don't think, but that was a whole bunch of old Atari games, and E.T. was a huge, huge portion of that, that there were, like, almost, and I'm rounding generously, but there were almost a million cartridges dumped. There were, like, 700,000-plus cartridges dumped.
That's insane. And still far away from a million.
Yeah, it's not that far. I was rounding generously.
So the game came out in 1982 along with the movie, right? Movie came out earlier that year. And the development cycle of this game was exceptionally short because the movie came out like May, June, and this game came out in December of 1982.
I want to say, you say along with, but it wasn't like they planned them together and like made the game as the movie was coming out. Movie came out, it was a massive hit. And so somebody had the bright idea, how can we market this and make some more money, but not just market it, but have it out for this Christmas season? And so it forced an insanely short development cycle. And they went to a really popular Atari game maker that had some big, big titles. His name was Warshaw, Howard Scott Warshaw, and asked him to push this game out basically in record time. And he did. They were able to get it out, and it sold relatively well.
It became the third highest selling Atari 2600 game of all time.
Right. Wow. But then pretty quickly word of mouth, I think, sort of spread that it wasn't like it wasn't as popular, at least like on the street or what have you, like with the kids, as like Pitfall that also came out, just because of some of the things we'll talk about in terms of how the game works. And so maybe for that reason, maybe just for like production reasons, and they were way too caught up in the success of E.T. that they thought that would carry them. There's literally whole conversations here about this sort of starting the whole making really fast video games of just a movie, and how bad idea that continued to be after this. You know, like you could write papers on it, I'm sure. But it sold a lot of games and was not an unpopular title, at least in what it sold, but way undershot what the hopes was for what it sold. So they had tons of extra inventory. They lost a bunch of money on the game. They had to pay like $20 million or something insane for even the rights to make the game with the title because it was such a big name thing. And that's a huge amount of money back in the early 80s. And so it was just a whole debacle. It really is super interesting, and people ought to go read about it, no matter their feelings on the game itself.
But for now, although we won't go fully into detail about what all that is, we will talk to you about our experience with the game this week.
Gameplay.
So I think it's good to say from the beginning that this is early, early in video game history. In 1982, sure, there maybe a decade before that of some Pong and different things coming out like that. But here at this time, we've got, so within the 80s, early 80s, we've got Pac-Man at this time. We've got Donkey Kong, Galaga, Frogger, those kinds of games. We don't even have Mario Brothers yet. We don't have Tetris yet. So this is an early video game. And so we've got to keep that into mind when turning on this game for the very first time.
And early home console game, like non-arcade, like you have access to it from your living room game. So that was also a big deal in 82.
It was kind of the like pinnacle of the Atari, I think, doing well. The year before this game came out, they had a really excellent year with some really big titles. And so they were kind of just flying high, which is, I think, part of why their expectations for this game were so inflated.
And what aliens do.
Right. Aliens also fly high in bikes.
So if you haven't seen the movie, what are you doing? Because it's on many lists as one of the greatest movies of all time.
Yeah. I will, even hating this movie, I will tell you that it's a great film and that most people will probably love it and everyone should see it. I just have weird, like, personal hangups with it. And so I'm not disagreeing
really
with that.
Really weird, because you just admitted that it's an amazing movie and everyone should see it. Yet
all rights, it should be one of my favorite movies from genre and director and type of movie and all the things. It really should. The Alien freaked me out as a kid. And I've never gotten over it. And now it's like solidified in my mind as a movie I just refuse to watch.
Well, we'll try not to spoil the movie too much. But in this game,
came out in 1982, though.
Some of you haven't seen it. You play as E.T. in this game, actually. So the boy from the movie, Elliot, I would kind of guess that you would play as Elliot. But you don't. You play as E.T. and you're looking for a phone to phone home.
Yeah.
That premise is kind of so obscene.
You're dropped off by your spaceship at the very beginning, and then your goal is to get back in that spaceship and go home. So it's kind of a very abbreviated story compared to the movie. And the way that you're doing that is by just what Nolan said. You're going around and you're finding these different pieces of your phone. And there's three different pieces that you have to find. And once you find those pieces, you're able to go to a certain spot, phone home, and then you go to the spot where the spaceship is landing, the launch pad, and you get in your spaceship and you successfully go home. So now that's a very abbreviated way to tell this story, or not only to tell the story, but to tell what this gameplay is. Because you are dropped down on a screen that is just entirely green, different shades of green, but it's entirely green, including your alien, ET. He is green as well. And
it is a lot of green in this scheme.
It's only green outside of, well, I guess there's a few different colors, and we'll get to that. But the majority of the things that you're seeing are different shades of green. You move screens and you watch the symbols at the top of your screen, and use your action button at certain times throughout the game to, again, collect your pieces of phone home. Along the way, you can collect candy that can replenish your energy or can add to your score at the end of the game.
You also have this energy bar at the bottom that it starts out at 9,999 that depletes as you take steps. So as ET is moving across these screens, you are running out of resource. So I guess his energy, and I guess he dies if you run out. Well, he does.
Kenny did a first play this week, which was very intriguing to watch. It's one of the most enjoyable but painful and cringy first plays that we've ever done.
Absolutely.
And Kenny dies multiple times and he wants to just stay dead, but unfortunately he's got a few lives that he's got to go through before he can finally stay dead.
Yeah. That stinking kid comes and resurrects me every time.
Hey, yeah. He has a name.
And I'm not even talking about Elliot.
Everything you do depletes your energy. So from moving, falling down into pits, which is, I mean, that's the core kind of mechanic of the game. Your phone pieces are hidden in pits and you fall down into these pits. Some of them are empty. Some of them have phone pieces. And one of them has kind of an Easter egg of sorts, a flower that Kenny, in your first play, it didn't seem like you knew what to do with, but I think it's kind of Easter eggy. You can resurrect that flower, and with that, I think you get an extra life for ET.
Yeah, you do.
But you're just trying to conserve your energy because, again, once it depletes, then you die. And so you have to do all of that, collect the three phone pieces, avoid the enemies, which we'll talk about next, and phone home and get back into space all on 9,999 energy plus any candy you eat.
So, true to the movie, the boy hero Elliot is there to help you, but all of the full-size adults are there to cause you problems.
Like in real life.
So you have one, kind of two representations of, I don't know, the establishment adults. You have a scientist who presumably just wants to study ET, and you have an FBI agent who wants to, you know, capture him and make sure that he's not a threat to national security or what have you. And so these enemies both have a similar mechanic in that they will chase you down very aggressively, but with some kind of odd mechanics. They won't follow you like between screens, and they can't fall down a hole with you, so you can jump in a hole to avoid them. But they can chase you on the overworld map and even run like across holes without falling in. And anyways, just some kind of cheap mechanics. But if you're caught by the scientist, he takes you back to a room that represents science and, I don't know, researches you, whatever that involves. There's probably probing or something that happens. But all that happens is you're... you're moved. You're derailed from where you were, and you're taken to another screen, but there's no real punishment there. You were captured, and it sets you back energy and time. The FBI agent, on the other hand, if they capture you, they will steal some of your progress. So if you have pieces of the phone that you've been collecting to phone home, they're taking them from you. If you don't have those and you have some candy, they'll take that from you. They're like a big bully that just, I don't know, wants what they can get. And so those can really set your gameplay back.
Oh, yeah. You would much rather be grabbed by a scientist than an FBI agent.
In real life,
that's true in real life, too.
Y'all both said it. So one of the big things here is that you're moving from screen to screen. We mentioned that, but that's kind of huge here. There's a total of 7 different screens, most of them being kind of one with pits. And then there's one that is, I think the stage is more blue, and that's where the scientist takes you and you can go to. But this is one of the first games to have multiple screens that the player can move between. And so you can move by going left, right, up, or down out of the screen, but also you could move by activating your ability when there's a certain icon or symbol at the top of the screen. I think it'd be important for us to walk through those different icons because those are huge to the gameplay here.
Yeah, they're massive.
So I don't know what each one means or how to activate them. So enlighten me.
Okay, because that's crucial.
It's basically like the one button you have. I mean, this is Atari 2600.
The Neken.
Kind of does everything. Yeah, and it's represented, you hit the button, and he extends his neck way up, and then he'll use his special powers. However, which special power you use changes on your situation. So if you've fallen into a hole, E.T. will use his special, like, levitating power to get out of the hole. But if you're on the overworld map, he uses the power that's represented by an icon at the top of the screen that changes based on where you're standing on the map.
And it's invisible, like, locations until you're standing there.
Right, and it's randomized. So every time you play the game, you have to walk kind of throughout the whole map to find different locations that do certain things.
Well, so I know that one of them is, like, it'll show you where a telephone piece is. That happened to me a couple times where, like, you use your neck and then you'll see a sparkle in one of the pits, and that's how you,
like,
know,
highlights one of the pits. One of them shows you a location.
If there's a question mark at the top of the screen and you activate it, it'll show you if there is a phone piece on your current screen.
Right.
Okay.
If there's an arrow on the top of the screen, it will move you to the next screen over that is in the direction that arrow is pointing.
Yes.
So it'll, like, kind of teleport you to the next screen.
Yes, there's a lowercase e with 3 kind of dashes, and it's a call Elliot function. And so Elliot will come and collect any candy pieces that you have so that if an FBI agent does come after you, he's not going to steal your candy. And so if you're wanting to preserve them for points, Elliot will come and take those from you.
Yeah, there's also some interesting strategy there. If you get enough of those Reese's pieces and then call Elliot, he'll come and collect the candy, and then he will go off and help you find a piece of the phone. Like, he'll bring it back to you or something.
Oh, wow.
And so there's some strategy there.
It's so creative.
Yeah, it's mostly strategy on how to, like, maximize points.
That's actually, that's more depth than I was expecting out of that. So I knew there was something I was missing. But, like, I don't, no one ever talks about that. That's actually kind of
none of this stuff. Good mechanic. You would know about, and this is something that we should hit on. And some of our viewers talked about this in Discord this week, but this is a game that it is essential, one, to even have any sense of what's going on, but two, to really understand what the stuff means and why, that you have access to and read the game manual while playing this game. Because it's literally nonsense without. My first play this week was just sitting down and trying to play the game blind. And that's why it was so frustrating and probably so funny to watch. Because I had no clue. And these symbols aren't words. They're literally just symbols. And you just can't tell what's going on without the directions that are given in the manual.
Right, but we're talking 1982, reading a manual. I mean, even reading a manual when I was playing in the mid-90s was not maybe necessary, but very beneficial and very helpful. Even some of the early Zelda games, I feel like, have the like dungeon maps in their booklets and different things like that that are going to be super helpful for playing the game. I think this is just another one of those examples where, sure, without the manual, a little unintuitive, but once you look through the manual, which can easily be found in like an HD print online today, you'll know exactly what you're doing and what each of the icons represent.
Yeah. And some of this conversation will, I'm sure, have as we talk about how this game has aged in a little bit. But I sometimes knock games for not doing a good enough job of teaching you the game inherently as you play. But this is old enough in time that hardware limitations literally mean that they couldn't do some of that. I mean, some they could, but this game, there was no chance. Like, they were pushing it out the door quickly. And they were going for an in-depth action-adventure experience, or at least as in-depth as you could get on the Atari at the time. And there was no way to communicate all of those things. And it was also normal. You buy the game, it has the manual, people read it. And so I don't fault them in this case for doing that. A little later, when games have the resources to kind of hold your hand a little bit more, I'll knock a game for having that expectation, but in this era, I don't have a problem with that at all.
Let's go through the remaining icons at the top of the screen that we haven't touched on yet.
Yeah.
So you've got a kind of a Roman numeral 3, at least it looks like that. I think it's supposed to be a building, and it sends all of the enemies away. So if there's a scientist or FBI agent on the screen, you press that, activate that, they go off the screen, which is nice.
There's a little icon representing Reese's Pieces, where if instead of calling Elliot and giving them to him, you want to consume the candy that you found, it will take those Reese's Pieces and turn them into more energy for you. So as your energy bar is counting down, it gives you a little bit more energy to work with.
That's a really important mechanic, too, if you are playing this for the first time, because like you do a lot of exploring. But I, again, didn't really know what each icon was, so I was kind of just spamming my button and getting lucky or unlucky, depending.
And then I guess one of the big ones, and we can talk about maybe pit mechanics, is that there's an up arrow with a line at the base at the arrow, and that is your levitate ability.
Right.
You'll get that consistently and constantly when you have fallen into a pit, which you will do often. And
way
what
more
a lot
often
of people,
than you'd like.
What a lot of people have difficulties with, simply because of the, I think a big portion of it is the view that you're seeing the screen from. So you're seeing the stage from a top down perspective, while you're seeing your alien from a side perspective. And so if any of your alien's pixels are touching any of the pit pixels, whether it's his neck or his head or his hand or his feet, then you're going to fall back into that pit.
Right, which doesn't look really intuitive at all.
Well, no, I thought that was simple enough to figure out. Kenny, watching your first play, though, I was like, quit touching the pits.
Like, in my mind, like, if your feet go in it, you're going to fall.
Not in this game.
And so, I expected that sort of implied 3D that a game today would probably have. And there's people who are so bothered by this pixel perfect, like you touch it and you immediately are in the pit mechanic, that there's somebody who's gone back and like recoded and recompiled this game with edits that I think the main thing that it did was make the falling into a pit mechanic more forgiving, both getting in and getting out.
I might be alone here, but I found it somewhat enjoyable falling into the pits because it extended the gameplay and it gave me an additional challenge to try to navigate the pits. It wasn't just move to the left or the right, find a new phone piece, but it puts in a new layer of difficulty of how to navigate the stages.
Once I got used to the mechanics of it, I didn't mind it too much, but it took a lot of getting used to.
No, I'm with you, Dustin. I don't think you're alone, because like I think that there is potential for this to be completely like cookie cutter, where you just go and find pieces that are on the surface. But also when you add the scientist and the FBI agent, like that's another layer of difficulty that makes this game way deeper than anyone ever gives it credit for.
I think another thing that provides some additional depth is that at the end of the game, so if you ever get far enough to have collected all three phone pieces and you've got enough energy remaining, you have got to find the one location on one of the seven screens where you're able to phone home from. There's another icon that is kind of this alien-looking blob that calls your spaceship. And so... You have to find that location with your remaining energy after finding the three phone pieces, getting out of all the pits and avoiding all of the enemies. And then after you've called, you've got a limited amount of time to find the one spot on the map that you must be that once the ship descends, it will pick you up. If you're not on that spot after that timer goes out, then you have not succeeded and you don't get to go back home.
Yeah, and not only that, but the ship is kind of finicky. I mean, it's aliens. They're trying to protect themselves. I get it lore-wise, I guess. But if the ship is trying to land and he being ET, is not alone on the screen, that is, if there's any of the human or any of the adults, at least around the scientist or the FBI agent on the screen with you, the ship will turn around and just keep going. It doesn't risk it.
Yeah. I have one more thought on while we're on aged here that really stood out to me playing this game. Like this game for 1982 on the Atari does exploration so well.
Yeah.
Like you had, what did you have at the time? Pac-Man, like arcade style looking games mostly were the most quote unquote revolutionary. And then this guy comes in here and like gives us one of the first like screen turners. Yeah.
Like adventure. Like
adventure game.
And you feel like you're E.T. I mean, most games that come out made from movies have some significant issues with it.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying that E.T. doesn't have any, but there are, like, you feel like you are in the story. You feel like you're the alien. It just brings a lot of nostalgia vibes for sure.
I don't know if you guys felt this at all, but again, just because genre, and I think even like music and looking for items, this game kind of reminded me of like a super early Toe Jam and Earl.
How so?
Just like walking around collecting pieces, overworld adventuring. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, how much later did Toe Jam and Earl come out?
Oh, like a ton later.
Oh, you're just saying it's similar.
Yeah, I'm just saying I got like vibes of it.
Like, I'm not going to make this claim, but like, did Toe Jam and Earl get a lot of their design decisions from E.T.? I don't know.
I didn't notice that, Kenny, but now that you mention it, like, I can see it because of how like unique and different Toe Jam and Earl went.
I'm sure there's really similar kind of like action adventure genres that have that same, you know, top down collect item view in between, you know.
I just think that E.T., I think that this game is absolutely overlooked as being one of the first.
Right.
I don't know.
That's what I was kind of pointing out, is that this attempted to do something that later became kind of a fine, or at least nichely, sure, I'll make it an adverb, successful genre.
Aged.
With age, we always want to talk about a few different things. Two of them in particular is the graphics and the music. So we'll just start with graphics, and I'll say that they're spot on. Like, sure, it's aged. 1982, right? But it looks good. You can clearly tell who E.T. is. You can clearly tell what the holes are. And honestly, the sprites and animations for the bad guys are great.
Yeah. It would be hard for me to disagree with you. We're talking the Atari here. So I've heard people bash the graphics, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
I would generally agree. I do think they could have done a little better on color scheme, like we talked about earlier. It's just very like green on green, and they throw in some other color on, you know, the one town part and with Elliot and whatever else, the spaceship. But I think there could have been, I don't even know, some more contrast or just a little difference there. But generally, again, for when this game came out, it looks pretty good. And again, it's clear once you know the mechanics, it's clear what everything does.
Yeah. I think, Dustin, you were saying that we generally like to talk about graphics and music being two big ones. So I'll talk about the music since I'm the music guy.
Sure.
There's not like a soundtrack or anything to the game, but they do have title music in this game. So it's as like most of the movie games that were based on movie type games, they've got like an imitation of the main theme from the movie. So the main theme from the movie is composed by John Williams. So this was a Spielberg film, by the way, if any of you have been hiding under a rock, and we've talked about how big it was. This was a huge game. The soundtrack is amazing. And I gotta say that it sounds exactly like the movie. It sounded great to me.
Yeah, and not only that, but the sound effects, they really help you to be able to determine what's going on and what you're accomplishing and what comes next. It's just very clear and easy to work out what's going on simply based on sound effects, almost as if you could close your eyes and play this game. And one, you're going to know that you're playing E.T. And then two, it might be tough, but you're going to be able to complete this game with your eyes closed, just listening to the sound effects.
I don't know if that's completely true. It'd be really hard to like avoid the enemies coming to capture you and a number of other things, but the sound effects are on point. Like they're good.
And I think what Dustin may be getting at is like, I think that it would have been worse if they added music to walk it. Like when you're E.T., in the forest walking around, I think if they had some music playing the whole time, that it would distract from the mission that you're on.
Yeah, I agree.
For me personally. So I actually love the sound effects and I love the music, the title music, even though it's brief, I still like it a lot.
Again, all of these in light of it being an Atari 2600 game, you know, the music is as faithful as you can get for the hardware limitations. It's not like it's an amazing sounding score, but if you knew the music, it evokes it well, and it's not annoying, and you know, the sound effects aren't annoying and they cue up well, and like it all works.
I would agree, but I would say that like, okay, so maybe not compared to like PS4 like soundtrack, but PS3 at least, like I don't know. I think that there's something unique about what you get here. Yes, for Atari back then, but I think even bringing it to today, I don't know how to put the words together to try to
game developers nowadays try to like they try to do their own spin on it, and here it's just they're like, well, let's replicate that song just in the Atari, what is that called? It's not 8-bit, it's Pog, I don't know, the noises from the Atari, they just replicated it. And that works infinitely better than if they were like, let's come up with something really unique and stuff, or I don't know.
Here's the thing, you could tell that the sound engineers, the graphic engineers, the creators of this, they really were passionate about the story of E.T. and the movie E.T., and they were doing their best to be as faithful as possible to creating and I don't want to say masterpiece, but within 5 months, creating something that would be remembered for generations.
Kenny, you mentioned something in your first play, like that you're a huge fan of the 80s.
Absolutely.
Is that correct? Yeah.
Especially movies. And I'm not I don't know them all, but 80s cinema just has a really unique feel. And there's some just really classic films that came out of that era.
Right. And you said that this game should hit it for you, or that movie should hit it for you. This game should do everything for you, but it didn't. I'm still confused because it screams 80s perfection to me. Like everything about the 80s is in this game.
Oh, certainly. My biggest struggle with this game during my first play was playing it blind. Again, it's just an almost incomprehensible game if you don't understand, or at least take a long, long time to accidentally learn what all of the symbols at the top mean and, you know, how standing on the overworld map affects your powers. And like mechanically, if you haven't gotten in the know or watched someone else play it or something, this game is just absolutely, absolutely, absolutely terrible. And so I think that was my biggest complaint with the game, at least during my first play. I still don't think it's like a stellar game, but it certainly isn't as bad as watching me play for the first time would imply.
I equate some, and correct me if I'm wrong, but E.T. for Atari to Stranger Things. Like, I think it does some of the same things. It feels some of the same nostalgia. It, like, how Stranger Things connects fans to the 80s and the things revolving around that. I think this game accomplishes a lot of the same things.
Kenny might be able to speak to that better because I'm a Stranger Things fan, but I think Kenny's the biggest of us. But, I see where you're coming from. Like, they definitely looked at past art from the 80s and then built their show around it. And I would not be surprised at all if they used this game in some way to influence that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly got that vibe. I mean, it's Atari being Atari, and then the interesting attempt at making a popular movie into a game, which was kind of a new thing, and B, just making an adventure game at all, which tended to not be what they did. And so I can see a little bit of crossover both ways. I don't think like direct influences by any means, but this game feels totally 80s and feels like a bit of a, you know, challenging adventure. And I mean, that's what Stranger Things sort of thrives on. That said, I feel very different about the two of them still.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not this game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is just our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It requires 2/3 of the votes to swing one way or another. Nolan, we'll start with you. Do you give this game your vote for New Game Plus status?
No.
Yeah, me either. This is a terrible, terrible, terrible game. And we intentionally, from the start, tried to slowly ramp up the most audacious, ridiculous claims about this game to troll Kenny.
Yeah, and I felt bite.
Here's what I felt like was going to happen. I felt like Dustin was going to be that guy who tried to like weirdly be counter argumentative, and he was going to give this game New Game Plus, and I was going to be upset. But I knew even if you did, that Nolan would be in my pocket and be a realist. And so I wasn't even afraid.
Dang, Kenny, we should have followed through with the New Game Plus.
Here's the thing, though. We should have to see what he would have done if this game would have. But here's the thing. Here's a few of the claims we made. That the graphics are spot on.
That the music is on par with PS3 era.
I said not quite PS4, but PS3. That I equated it to Stranger Things. At the end, I was just trying to do a Hail Mary to see what Kenny would do, because I know
I had to suppress the biggest laugh.
Like, you guys were really generously overstating, And right. maybe this whole like reverse trolls into me being this guy. But for this game being called the worst video game of all time by a lot of people, I have a hard time justifying that.
Oh, shut up.
Kenny, stop.
Come on.
It's not a New Game Plus status game. Like, that wasn't going to happen, at least not for me either. And it's arguably and certifiably bad on a lot of fronts. But I really do think they tried to accomplish some things, and I think it gets way more flack than it actually deserves.
Just accept it. Like, yes, there are a few redeeming. I don't know if I can even use the word redeeming. There are a few. It's not as bad as what some people make it out to be. And there is what we did. Yes, is take the things that could be or that could have been good. But then we multiplied that by 1,000 and took it to the top. Like, sure, you can realize that that character is E.T. because what else the heck is that creepy alien?
I almost blew it when Dustin said, you can, what I'm trying to say is you can basically beat this game with your eyes closed.
Yeah. Kenny, you did call me on that one. You said, I don't think so.
No way.
Yeah. Also, I said that falling into pits was actually kind of fun. It extends the gameplay. Kenny, you don't have to be mad. Are you mad?
No, I'm not mad at all. It makes so much more sense now that I realize that. Because I just thought, I didn't know what was happening. Like, I knew. I thought you were just trying to be real balanced and, like, you know, give this game a little bit more credit than the terrible rap it gets, which I think is justified. And so I thought that was the whole mission here.
We should have gone through with New Game Freaking Plus. That would have set him off.
I would have been pretty salty about that.
I don't know. We gave him many opportunities to get set off and he didn't.
You couldn't even hear it in your voice.
I feel like we may have could have gotten him to give it his vote for New Game Plus.
No, that wasn't ever happening, no matter
what.
We
did agree. He did agree, though, that the music was good.
Like, I don't...
No, he said for Atari era or whatever.
Yeah, like, it's not... Like, it's Atari music, but it felt like theme. I really don't feel like you guys were that far off on the things that you did point out were good. The saying the pits was kind of fun is... absolutely ridiculous just because of the mechanics of it. Like, you could absolutely argue they needed a place to hide things. The pits were a good idea. The implementation was trash, though. I don't know.
Kenny, do you want
you walked the line well enough that I definitely bit on thinking you guys were serious or really playing devil's advocate or something. I don't know.
Nice. Mission accomplished.
So, Kenny, do you give it your vote for New Game Plus status?
No, it's not. It's not a good game. No. It's a better game than it gets credit for.
No, it's not.
I mean, I really do think it is. I think
I would agree with you. I don't think it's the worst game of all time.
Yeah, worst game of all time is a really, really high bar and
low bar.
Whatever. It's a bar that it may or may not reach, depending on your height. Okay. But, like, it's not a good game. Even after I learned the mechanics and what to do, even after I knew how to get out of a pit, because the manual kind of explains it, it almost, like, apologizes in the manual. Like, getting out of the pit can be kind of frustrating. You need to do it this way. It's so bad. But even knowing all of those things and having seen how the game works, as you play through it, there's just so much frustration that it couldn't be fun. I think putting some different difficulty levels in there, which is kind of an Atari feature that you can, you know, like manually set some different difficulty levels, was a kind of cool feature. I think they tried to do things that were new. For a lot of people, it being ET themed would help. But for me, that's a big hit against it. And so, yeah, it's a certifiably bad game, but not nearly as bad a game as the rap it gets.
Nolan, any last words before we put this game to rest?
Yeah, bad landfill out of 10.
I said it already. I don't think it's the worst game of all time, but it's a really bad game. There are a few qualities that are good for that era, but there are none that are great. And it was just a rushed, terribly made, bad concept, poorly designed game. And so it does not get any of our vote for New Game Plus status. So E.T. the Extraterrestrial is not New Game Plus certified. We had a few of our friends write in this week. Bill wrote in.
Bill.
Hey, guys, I love that this game came up naturally and I didn't have to suggest it. I don't think Kenny would forgive me as quickly as he did with Color of Dinosaur. I played this game along with you all this week, and I have to say, it wasn't as bad as I expected. With a little, with a title like Worst Game of All Time, I was surprised that it was just the gameplay that sucked. I didn't notice too many overt bugs. It was just crappy gameplay. Honestly, I've been more frustrated by current-gen buggy games. Kenny's first play was entertaining, and I like to imagine that you and Nolan pressured him into it. Yep. Oddly enough, with the limited amount of time that one needs to spend with this game to get a feel for it and its notoriety, I actually do give this my vote for New Game Plus status. It's something that every gamer should experience. Retro gaming to me is as much about having fun as it is about being a part of a culture, and E.T. for the Atari is an icon for the gaming industry.
I mean, if that's your main argument, that like people should know about it, and that's the filter you're using New Game Plus status or not, I will give him the benefit of the doubt and say that's fine. Like it can't justify it to me just because gameplay's too terrible. But it's an interesting story how the game was made, how it was received or not, and so like people should certainly look into the story of this game.
He's doing to us what we just did to Kenny.
But don't play it.
You would equate this game to like Stranger Things?
Like they're both in the 80s.
I thought that was going to do it. I thought he was going to be like, what?
Door to Door Geek wrote in and he said, I cannot write in this week. It would have too many curse words in it.
Well, you did. Wait, that's all he said?
That's all he said.
Oh, fair enough.
The frustrations. We didn't talk about it too in depth because we were talking about how good the pits are, but the pit mechanics and the pixels are so awful that you will fall in over and over and over again, even as you're trying to get out of the pits. It's absolutely maddening. Jonah Dab wrote in and he said, I think I might have been one of the people who suggested this game. Hopefully not the first. I'm sorry. I do have memories of this game because I played it as a kid. After the Nintendo came out, my grandma got a used Atari for the grandkids and she got three games. This was easily the worst of the three. We played it anyways because when you only have three games, you play all three of them. I wasn't an especially dexterous child, so I spent basically 100% of my playtime in this game trying to levitate out of the pits and falling right back into them, immediately in most cases. I tried to get better at levitating out in fewer tries. I never got very good at it. This week I played the fixed ROM hack version of the game. It is clearly an improvement over the original. That's the best thing I can really say about it, though. Well, the movie was good, much better than Jurassic Park, so there's that. Maybe one of these weeks the randomizer will pull out the best of the three games Grandma had. Pitfall 2. Here's hoping.
I think E.T.'s better than Jurassic Park.
There's no way.
I mean, E.T. the game is better than Jurassic
Park. There's no way, and it's fine to argue it. I just have to get personally offended.
Like, they had like a huge box office opening. Like the record was broken over Star Wars when E.T. came out. So they were like, oh, game easy. We'll make so much money on this. This proves that you can't just do that. And I love that's what happened. And the next year there was a gaming crisis. The gaming industry crashed in 83. So just because the movie is legendary doesn't mean you have to make a game about it.
No one ever learned the lesson, though, and so
no, they
didn't. We can wish they did, but they did not.
I will say that Jonah Dab was also the one that on Discord, I think last night, suggested that Nolan and I do a trollisode for Kenny, and I deleted his comment and talked to Nolan about it, and we decided that we were going to do it. So thank you, Jonah Dab, for that idea.
Social experiment.
Bill, Door-to-Door Geek, Jonadab, thank you guys for writing in. As always, you can write in and be a part of each and every week's show by sending in your thoughts of the Retro Game of the Week to ngppodcast@gmail.com. E.T. has finally gone home where he belongs. We're going to leave him there as we randomly select our next Retro Game of the Week from our Retro Master list. Any genre, any console, any era of gaming, video gaming that is, suggested to us, we'll add it to the Retro Master list, and from there we will select our next Retro Game of the Week, which is... a business simulation game developed by Bullfrog Productions and published by EA, Electronic Arts, in 1997 for the PC.
What? That sounds weird. What?
Came out for the PlayStation the very next year. And it is a game in which the player designs and operates a privately owned hospital. We are going to be playing my wife's favorite game, Hospital.
She should do a first play.
Huh. I bet I could get her to do a first play.
Theme I mean, it hospital. Wouldn't be a first play.
No, but we'd call it that.
Yeah, we'd call it that anyways. Featurette. It could be an instructional video for all of us. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be really
so fun. You build, like, it's like a roller coaster tycoon, but a hospital.
But for hospitals?
Yeah, it's like theme park and theme zoo all of these other themed games where you and you've got like a time limit or whatever, and you're trying to bring in a certain amount of money or cure a certain amount of patients in a certain amount of time. You build rooms, hire. It's actually, I mean, it's really in depth. It's got a dark sense of humor. It's a lot of fun, and we'll play it this week. Play along with us.
Meet us over in Discord so you can get in on all the troll activities like the one that happened in this episode. Go to Twitter and click on the Discord link to get invited.
We also want to take a minute and say thanks to all of our patrons, you guys that help support us. You are genuinely some of the best people, and we're so appreciative, especially our producer level supporters, Zion, Bradley, and Gimbarino. You guys rock.
That being said, we haven't received a new patron in 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 months. And so that's cool and all. Thank you guys for... We also haven't lost any in that amount of time either. So thank you guys for being...
faithful supporters, yeah.
So faithful for sure. If you know of anybody that would like to listen to New Game Plus or support us on a monthly basis, please send them our way. Send them to patreon.com/NGP podcast. You can also find us on all of our social media handles, Facebook and Twitter @NGP Podcast. Find us on YouTube, where we put up regular video content for your eyes and ears. Listen to us directly every single week on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, any other podcast provider of your choice. New episodes come out every single Monday. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes, which are edited and produced by Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Theme Hospital. Until then, I'm Troll Number One.
I'm Trolley Extraordinaire.
My name is Nolan.
And this has been a really good review of a really good game. I would put it in my top three, Nolan.
Top one.
Yeah. Of New Game Plus. Dun 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 d